This morning we're going to begin a two-week short sermon series on how to have a fresh start, and then we'll be going right into Advent after that. And so this morning's scripture is going to be from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. We're going to be jumping into the Old Testament as we spend some time into the New Testament here. So let us join together here as we read Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' The foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to him, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Lord God, you are the great I am. Holy, holy, hallelujah. You are the great I am. And this morning we come and we proclaim that you are the great I am. None beside thee. Gates of hell cannot stand. In the mention of your name, they shudder, because you are the great I am. And so this morning we come and we proclaim that, and we give thanks for that. That you are the great I am. And we ask God this morning now, as we come and we hear the word presented, that you would allow us to hear you speak to us. Allow your Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon us, God, that we might be able to take something away today, something new, something fresh, Lord, that only you, the great I am, can provide for us here today. We ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my sight, would be pleasing to you, God, the great I am. Amen. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be starting a two-week sermon series on how to have a fresh start. And I think that this morning we would all have to be honest and say that we kind of wish that 2020 would have a fresh start. That we kind of wish 2020 would have a reset button, or a way for us to kind of start over again, if we all want to be honest with each other. And I think if we all want to be honest with each other, we probably would say in our own lives at some point in time, whether it's this year or previous years, that there are things that we wish we could have done over. There are things that we wish we could have changed, wish that we could have a fresh start. And I think this morning we're probably even sitting here going, if I could just have a fresh start in my relationship with God, if I could just do things over with God this week, then maybe things would be different. And so I think we all have come to a point in our lives where we've actually said that to ourselves, that if I could just start over with God, if I could have a fresh start with God. You know, I think what's interesting about fresh starts is that fresh starts aren't limited to a certain group of people. That fresh starts are for everybody, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've come from, that we all get fresh starts. I mean, if you think about school and our kids in school, our kids model fresh starts before us almost every day in every trimester or quarter of school. The teachers give us a progress report, and they tell us, this is how you can make things better. And then we as parents and teachers, we try to work with our kids so that they can have a fresh start after that progress report comes home, or that report card comes home, so that they can start better and have a better start in the next quarter or trimester. Our kids model this before us. When they come home and they get a test and they say, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry I didn't do well on it. I'll do better next time. And they study harder their next time because kids are used to every single day having a fresh start and modeling fresh starts for us. Where we as adults, we struggle with it because we hold on to the past. We hold on to things. And kids don't, folks. And that is why Scripture tells us when Jesus says that we are to be like little children and have childlike faith. Because little children are so trusting. And not only are they trusting, but they don't hold on to things. They move on and they try to do better. And so Scripture tells us to be like a little child, to learn from our children and our youth, that we can be like them. A fresh start isn't about rubbing a genie in a lamp and saying, okay, can you give me 3 wishes? No, a fresh start's not just limited to us as Christians. A fresh start is limited to everybody in the entire world that God created. And this morning, maybe you're looking for that spiritual fresh start. Maybe you kind of feel like you've been on that roller coaster ride, and you know, all of a sudden things are going great in your spiritual life, and then all of a sudden you hit the top of the hill, and like the roller coaster, then you begin to coast really down really fast, and you go, oh my goodness, what's going on? And then you begin to go back up the mountain, you're having a good experience, and then back down the other side, and you're going all around the track, and you're saying, you know what, I feel like I'm like constantly on this treadmill. I'm having highs and lows in my Christian faith, and I just wish that I could somehow, in some way, just come to something that is more steady, where I feel like I'm getting somewhere. That's what a fresh start is like. That's the good news, that God can give us a fresh start. And when we look at this passage this morning of Isaiah 43, he says that I have something new for you, Isaiah. He doesn't say, Isaiah, I have something old for you, let's rehash the past. He says, I have something new for you. And this morning, whatever it is that we're trying to rehash or hold on to, or whatever it might be, God has something new for us this morning here at Columbia. That God says, no matter how dry your spiritual life might feel, I have something new for you. Isaiah 43 says, I am about to do something new, and I've already begun doing it, he tells Isaiah. He says, do you see it? That I'll make a pathway through the wilderness, that I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. You see, this morning, God is wanting to create something new in us, and he's already started to do it before we walked in these doors this morning. That God was already starting to make something new. He says, not only is he making something new, but that he sees our future and that he sees something new. That God wants to take us where he sees our future to be and that new thing he's going to create. You see, when we look at Isaiah here, we have to realize that Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament who was in captivity. And Isaiah was also the individual in which he felt like he was the suffering servant. That he felt like that the people didn't care about what he had to say. And so when you look at Isaiah the prophet, you look that he is writing in a time of captivity, and he sees himself as the suffering. And he's also writing, as Isaiah goes on, looking ahead to the coming of Jesus in the New Testament. That God gives him a glimpse of what is yet to come. That new thing that God is working on starts with Isaiah. That Isaiah is starting to record a vision here when he writes this passage. And this vision includes God himself being present and doing things. That when you look at Isaiah and the whole wonderful book of Isaiah, that Isaiah is about a fresh start. That Isaiah is a book in which God tells Isaiah to tell the people about a fresh start that's going to happen. And we're going to see how we can learn from that fresh start. And we see here that it starts out with the aspect that God's vision is that fresh start. That we see this morning that God speaks to Isaiah and says that I am not going just to give you a vision, but I'm also going to make your lips clean with the coal, and that you're forgiven, and that you can be a part of things. And that when we begin this morning looking at Isaiah, there are some things that I think we can glean from this passage. And so I think the first thing is that if we want a fresh start, we have to identify the pain in our lives. That if we want a fresh start, we have to identify the pain. We can't put the pain off. We can't hide the pain. We have to realize and deal with the pain. Isaiah was dealing with pain. Did you get the first part of the scripture here? In the year that King Uzziah died, Israel is dealing with pain. Their king had died. They are mourning. They are in pain. And Isaiah is recognizing that pain when he writes in the year that King Uzziah died. He's acknowledging the pain that him and the rest of the people of Israel are having as they acknowledge that their leader, their king, had died. It's a chronological reference, meaning that when King Uzziah died, then Isaiah saw the Lord. And when you begin to look over this word of death, it's a trigger that Isaiah was in deep pain. The same way that you and I are in deep pain when we lose a loved one or we lose a family friend that's been so close to us for ages. That same pain is what Isaiah and the people were dealing with. He's saying, you know, I feel like that although I might not have died, that I'm feeling the physical stress and tension of dealing with death, he says. And he says, regardless, I have pain. And if we want to identify and have a fresh start, we need to identify the pain in our lives. What pain are we going through this morning that we're hiding, that we're squashing, because we want nobody else to know about it? We need to be like Isaiah and recognize the pain that we have to help us to change. Why should we change? Because pain hurts, folks. And the longer we keep pain inside, the longer we don't deal with pain, the longer it's going to hurt us, the longer it's going to keep us down, the longer it's going to keep us from a relationship that God wants to have for us, the longer it's going to keep from God doing a new thing in our life, because pain is something that's very destructive if we don't deal with it. If we let it go and we squash it, it can destroy us emotionally and physically and spiritually. And I think that's what we have to realize this morning. We all come in, we all put a good mask on in front of people, and we all pretend like life is good and grand because we want to pretend like we have that pain under control. I know, I've been there, I've dealt that. I've come in and put a wonderful smile on my face. Everything's great, while trying to suppress all the pain, all the suffering, everything else going on, because you just feel like you can deal with it, you can handle it, while it spills out into every other part of your life. But for some reason, we think churches like Halloween, that we can come and put our mask and our costumes on, nobody will be the wiser, and we'll just deal with it ourselves. But yet the pain continues to get the best of us because we're not dealing with it. It takes care of our relationships and begins to spill out on our relationships. It begins to spill out on our church. It begins to spill out on our kids and our family and everywhere else because we don't want to deal with it. We don't like dealing with pain and suffering. None of us do, but God says we need to deal with it head on. It's time for us to drop the facade. It's time for us to drop the mask. And it's okay to say, you know what, I want a fresh start, and the only way I can have a fresh start is to acknowledge that I'm having pain. I'm going through a rough time right now. I can't do it by myself. I need God's help, and I need other people's help. And then we're able to be free from that pain, and we're able to experience the newness that God wants to give us. Isaiah could have written when the king died, instead of saying that he had seen the Lord, he could have said, I got up and I got drunk because I was so sad. I got up and went to the local bar because I couldn't handle the king dying and I couldn't handle my pain. He could have said, you know what, I sold everything I had because I was so depressed that I never want to talk to anybody again. That I told God I don't want to be his prophet because I just can't speak to people because I'm so down and depressed. He could have said, you know what, go away. I no longer want to go to church because I'm so depressed and so downcast. He could have done that. He could have, you know, gone out and he could have become a hermit somewhere and could have said, leave me alone. I'm going to become desolate and live by myself out in the mountains where nobody can get to me. He could have been very discouraged and let the discouragement and pain get the best of him, but he didn't. He said, yes, I recognize my pain, but I also recognize that I have seen God and God has something new for me. How about you this morning? Are those descriptors of you this morning as you're going through pain and suffering that you're saying, you know what, I just wanted to go and maybe get a drink and just kind of pretend like everything's all right? Do I just want to go and maybe hide in my house and not talk to anybody and turn the lights off and become a hermit? Or maybe you just want to, you know, not even come to church because you just don't want to even have God even touch you because you're in so much pain. What is it this morning that is causing our brokenness that we're not dealing with, that we need to deal with? Second thing is, if we want a fresh start, we got to recognize that everything in life is about God. Now, what I mean by that is that God doesn't cause everything that happens to us in life. God isn't causing the pain. God didn't cause King Uzziah to die. But everything in life we need to recognize is all about God. That God can be seen in everything that occurs in life, even in the pain and even in our circumstances. Even when things we don't understand happen in the world in which we live. That it's all about God. And we can see here that Isaiah says, I saw the Lord seated on the throne. He was high and exalted. The train of his robe, they filled the temple. And they were saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And the full earth is full of his glory. Did you catch that last part about how the full earth is full of God's glory? That no matter what happens, no matter what people say, no matter what happens when we go to social media, or we turn on our TVs, no matter what we're hearing right now about the pandemic, that God's glory fills the entire earth and God is in the midst of everything that is going on. And the question is whether or not we're going to try to see God in the midst of all the craziness or whether or not we're going to allow the things like the pandemic and other things on social media and our TVs direct us in how we feel about things. Because you can see God in every circumstance. And this past week, even with the pandemic and the numbers are going up, we saw that there is a very good chance that there might even be a vaccine that has been developed. A 90% chance that it's effective. That God is giving people wisdom and knowledge of how to deal with the pandemic. But so many times we don't look at the good, we look at the bad side of things. And so many times we don't look at the people that have recovered and the recovering rate in the pandemic of things. We always focus on the negative, and because everybody wants us right now to be focused on all the numbers and how bad they are. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the pandemic is not something we should take lightly, but I also think that you can see God in the midst of the pandemic, but we're not looking for God. We're looking for bad news all the time we hear about that. That we fail to see that God is working in the midst of the pandemic around the world. For instance, down in the southern hemisphere, that the pandemic has been under control and they have found ways to deal with it. But yet here, because of all of our social media and news outlets, we're constantly bombarded with the negative. That it's hard to see the positive and how God is working. That God in all of his glory is in everything that occurs in this world. Because God is God, and God is in control still. That if we want to make a fresh start, we have to realize that it's not about self-help books, folks. It's not about, well, if I go to the bookstore, I go to Amazon, and I get this wonderful self-help book, then it'll tell me how to be a better person if I follow these steps. It's not about buying CDs you can slip into your car and listen to about how to be a better person. It's not about watching Dr. Oz. It's not about watching other things on the TV that tell you how you can overcome things. It's about God, and God first and foremost is the only one who can help us to change and be better people. The other things are good. Don't get me wrong. They can help us. But so many times we turn to those things before we turn to God. And we say, I'm going to turn to these self-help things. Or I'm going to turn on these TV shows and try to glean some knowledge from them to be a better person, to change who I am. Instead of allowing God to change us from the inside out. You see, we can sit here and say, well, how can I fix my relationships? How can I fix my financial state? How can I do this and that? We can go to all the seminars. We can go to all the Zoom meetings we want to go to. You can do whatever you want, but it's not going to change anything unless God is the one that is working through you and me to initiate the change. Because God is the one who changes everything, not us as human beings. And I guess the question this morning we have to ask ourselves again is, who is God to you? Who is God to you? Because your belief and your idea about God will determine whether or not God can give you that fresh start or not. Who is God to you? And I think that's a very fair question that we all need to ask ourselves is, who is God and how do we see God? Because we can sit here all day and say that God wants to be new to us. God wants a relationship with us. God wants to start us over again with a new beginning. But it doesn't matter if our belief about God doesn't reflect what Scripture says about who God is. So who is God to you this morning? And the second question is, do you really want a fresh start? Maybe you're content being where you're at. Maybe you don't care. Maybe you don't want a fresh start. So do you really want a fresh start in your life? Because you might have an idea of who God is, and it might mirror up to what the Bible says about God. But yet, if you don't want a fresh start, it doesn't matter what we think about God. Because we have to want a fresh start. It's all about God. Holy, holy, holy Lord. And recognizing who He is and what He's done. That we have to want a fresh start. And then we also have to realize the truth about who we really are. That we're all sinners. That we all have missed the mark. And that we all are imperfect. And that we can't save ourselves. And when you look at Isaiah here, he says, God, you're holy, I'm not. God, you are holy, and I am not. That is why the angel put the coal on the lips of Isaiah to say, you are now holy, you are now forgiven, you are now righteous. Because Isaiah realized that God's holy and we're not. Do we really realize that in our lives? That God's holy and we're not? That we technically, the only reason we have the privilege to go before His presence is because He has put those coals on our lips too, through His Son Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you and for me, for the forgiveness of our sins, that we can be forgiven and have access to God's throne room? Because God is holy and we're not. But so many times we justify ourselves, and so many times we say, hey, I'm better than that person over there. God loves me more. I can't believe that person calls himself a Christian. You know, I'll tell you, as a pastor, I've heard it all. I've heard it all with individuals who have judged me being a pastor, saying, you know what, well, maybe you shouldn't be a pastor until you get your entire life together, or maybe you shouldn't be a pastor because you're divorced. And people have struggled and say, well, maybe you shouldn't even be getting remarried because, you know, we all know what the Bible says about that one. And we all forget all of a sudden that we all are sinners, that we're not holy, that we can all point fingers at people. We can have our own idea about people. We can have our own ideas about Scripture. But it doesn't matter how we view Scripture. It doesn't matter what our theological ideas are. What matters is that we're not holy and God is. It doesn't matter what situation we're in. It doesn't matter what situation we've been dealt with. All of us aren't holy. But we tend to pretend that we are holy and that we have it all together and that we're more righteous than other individuals because we're like the Pharisees. We're doing everything by the letter of the law. And then we begin to judge other people because, well, they're breaking the law. Look at them over there. Or I can't believe they would ever do that. And we all forget. We all have dirt in our closets, folks. We've all made mistakes and we're all sinners. But yet we say, I'm more holy than you are. And I love it as being a pastor too, because for some reason people think as a pastor that I'm more holy than you as church members, because I'm a pastor by occupation. That so many people will say, well, pastor, you have a better connection to God than what I have. And I kind of look at them like, well, what do you mean by that? And they'll say, because, well, you know, you're more holy because you're a pastor. And I look at them and say, no, I'm not. Just because doesn't make me more holy than you are. That I am unholy just like you're unholy, and it's by God's grace that I go before his throne. So it doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or you're not a pastor. We all, in God's sight, need him because we're all unholy, and we need to be reminded of that. That none of us are better than anybody else. And we want a fresh start, and we really want to be the people God's called us to be in the church that God has called us to be, then we need to realize it's about God and not about me. It's not about following the laws. It's not being about a good person. It's not about saying, well, I haven't done anything bad in my life like they have. It's about saying it doesn't matter. God says all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. Period. End of discussion. And with saying that, it means we need to release the past. It means that we need to let go of the past. It means when we say that we are holy because God has made us holy the way he made Isaiah holy, we need to forget the past, folks. We have a hard time doing that. It's hard because we want to hang on to the past. And we say, well, what if I screw up again? What if I make the same mistakes again? And we begin to think and we begin to dwell on the past instead of, okay, you know what? I have a fresh and new beginning. What am I going to do with it? So many times we think about the things that cause failure instead of focusing on the new opportunities that we have before us. So many times, Satan wants us to be reminded of the past to drag us down. Trust me, I know it firsthand, folks, that in life all of a sudden I'll go, hey, you know what? My Christian life's going pretty good. This is nice. The fresh start that I had that God's given me in all areas of my life, it's great. It's wonderful. I love it. And then all of a sudden I'll get smacked in the face with something as a reminder about, but what about your past over here? That all of a sudden, Satan will throw something at me to make me begin to doubt and say, you know what? Well, really, do I have a fresh start? Am I going to screw up again? Am I going to make the same mistake I made over here? That Satan wants us to be reminded that we're nothing, that we're sinners, that without God's grace, that we are nothing. And when we are doing well in our Christian life and when we're growing and maturing, we're spending time with God, Satan will throw it right at our face like a 50-mile-an-hour baseball coming to hit you right in the head to knock you off track. So you begin to doubt and wonder, am I really going to do the best with this fresh start, and how can I? Because Satan doesn't want us to have a fresh start. We cannot let our past define us and our past mistakes and our past sin and our past failure. But not only that, we have to say yes to God. We need to say yes to God, saying, yes, God, first and foremost, I know I have pain and suffering, God. First and foremost, I know I cannot save myself and I'm not holy. And first and foremost, God, I'm going to leave the past behind me because you have said that you want to make me a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And that we truly will say yes to God each and every day. Not yes to our pain and suffering. Not yes to our guilt. Not yes to our past. Not yes to those individuals who will say that we're not holy and we're not worthy. but yes to God, the one who takes our pain, the one who makes us holy, the one who says, the past is gone, I remember it no more. The new has come, and I am going to do something new in you here today. That we need to say yes to God. Then I heard the voice, Isaiah says, of the Lord, whom shall I send, and who will go with us? And here is where Isaiah's fresh start begins. That it goes from mourning the death of the king, that it goes from the pain and the suffering, and those saying you're not worthy, to him saying, here I am, Lord, send me. And the fresh start begins with Isaiah. So this morning, God is asking us that question, the same question he asked Isaiah. He says, and whom shall I send? And he's asking, basically saying, are you ready for a fresh start? Are you ready to say yes to me? Are you ready for a new beginning? Because you know what? We cannot control what happens to us. We cannot control our circumstances. We cannot control those people that are naysayers that want to bring us down. We can't control the things that our past might remind us of, whether it's a situation, whether it's a smell of something that brings back a memory, or whatever the case might be. We can't dwell on those things because God is in control and God is the one that we rely on. That we control whether or not we truly trust in God, put our faith in God, and we truly want a fresh start with God. We cannot control everything else. I cannot control my past, folks. You cannot control your past. What we can control is here, now, today, and the fresh start that God wants to give us, and what we're going to do with that today. Whom shall I send? He asked Isaiah. That God this morning is ready to breathe down on you and me to give us that fresh start. A fresh start that frees us. A fresh start that gives us peace and joy. A fresh start that says, okay, God, I'm ready for all the newness that you're ready to create in my life. The question is, this morning, are we desperate for that fresh start? So this morning as we conclude, I ask all of us, when are we ready to get started for God to do a new thing in us? Amen.